Well, hello, my friends, and welcome to Black Friday. Yes, it's the Friday after Thanksgiving. This is Pastor Calvin Corbett with Hickory Ridge Community Church, thanking you for listening to the broadcast today. And I know you're probably super busy, and I imagine most people today are doing their Black Friday shopping online. Because of the coronavirus, it's probably a good thing to avoid those crowds. But I'm so glad that you're tuning in today. Well, as we finish up this week, I always want to remind you on Friday that it's Friday, but Sunday's coming. I hope that you will be in church this weekend. On Sunday, if you'd like to join us at Hickory Ridge Community Church, we have a service at 9 o'clock. We have a service at 10:30. 9 o'clock is our drive-in service. 10:30 is inside. We are at 3320 Battlefield Boulevard South in Chesapeake, Virginia. I tell you what, it'd be our honor to have you come worship with us. I promise you, we'll make you feel right at home. And I hope that you come and enjoy just worshiping together and fellowshipping with God's people together. So I hope to see you on Sunday, okay? Well, today I want to talk to you about friendships. Friendships. You know, if you want God to honor your friendships, there's some things you got to do in your life. Way back in the 1960s, Jack Warner, who was the last of the five living Warner brothers, sold his stock in the Warner Brothers for $640 million. Unbelievable. A reporter asked him, "Well, how many friends do you have in this world?" He said, "I don't have a single friend in this whole world." Now that's sad, isn't it? Now that's an example of a man who was very rich, but on the same hand was very poor. If you want to have good friends, you got to be a good friend. There are so many benefits to having friends, and I want to share some of these things with you today on the broadcast. Number one, friends make us feel like we matter. They have this opportunity to bring strength into our lives. It should not be a newsflash to you today, but friends actually make us happy. A professor in North Arizona University wanted to find out, what is it about friends that cause us to be so happy? And he wanted to find out why it is that friends make us so happy. What is it about friendship that warms our hearts? Well, this is what he discovered. It turns out that what warms our hearts about friendship is not really friendship, but companionship. Simply doing things together. In this component of friendship, it's what makes us most happy. And the reason friends make us so happy is because they make us feel like we matter, that we make a difference in their lives. As a matter of fact, we have struggled as a society in this day and age to actually give a legal definition of friendship. As a matter of fact, there was a question that was brought up and it actually went to court. And the question was this, are the friends that you have on Facebook, are they actually your friends? Now, according to an appeals court in Florida, legally, Facebook friends aren't necessarily your friends. The court looked into this question because there was a judge who had been required to recuse herself from a case because an attorney that was involved in that case was her friend on Facebook. However, as this went to court, it discovered that the judge did not have to recuse herself because the court decided Facebook data mining and algorithms lead to people accepting friends requests from people they hardly know or whom they are acquainted with only on a professional level. So this issue, unfortunately, still isn't quite finished yet and is going on to an appeals court who will later rule about what a friend is actually defined as. Well, we could have solved this problem because Jesus himself talks about friendship. In John 15:13, he says, "Greater love has no one than this, than he lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants because a servant doesn't know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. For everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you." Now, don't you love the phraseology that Jesus uses here? He says, "I no longer call you servants, but I call you friends." You don't just work for me, is what Jesus is saying. You know me. You just don't know about my business. You know all about me. Furthermore, Jesus says there's no greater love that I could show for a friend than laying down my life for him. You know, we do struggle to decide what friendship is all about. The New York Times recently featured an article exploring our confusion about friendship, asking people to define friendship. Even experts who are doing research on friendship are having a hard time defining what friendship is. Friendship is very difficult to describe, said Alexander Nuhas, a professor of philosophy at Princeton. He wrote a book on friendship, and he spends almost 300 pages trying to do that, just trying to define what friendship is. So he concluded, it's easy to say what friendship is not, and foremost what it is, than it is to actually define it. Now, as we think about this matter of friendship, I want to be a great friend. I've discovered that the greatest friends that I have are the ones that try to be a great friend to me. The Bible says that he who hath friends must show himself to be friendly. So let's look at some characteristics taken from God's word today about how you can be a great friend. And I want to emphasize how you can be a great friend. Don't focus on trying to find great friends. Focus on being a great friend. And if you are a great friend, you will discover that you have more friends than you know what to do with. You have more people that want to spend time with you than you will know what to do with. Most people don't have a whole lot of friends because they tend to be selfish. They don't want to pour their lives into somebody else. But here are some characteristics of what it means to be a great friend. And I hope this day after Thanksgiving, some of these things will be things that you will start working on. Number one, if I'm going to be a great friend, I've got to be committed. Proverbs 18:24 says, a man of many companions may come to ruin. But there is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. In other words, you can have a lot of companions, a lot of acquaintances. You know, a lot of the people that are on my Facebook friends, they're not really Facebook friends, they're Facebook acquaintances. They're people that I know. They're not tight with my relationships, and I just happen to know them because of my circle of influence. But there is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. So I want to encourage you, when it comes to being committed, focus more on the quality, not the quantity of friends. Look at those that you can be committed to and that will be committed to you. Concentrate on the quality of friendships. You know, you don't need thousands of friends. Matter of fact, if you have a few close friends, that's probably sufficient. I think about Jesus when he was here on this earth. He ministered to multitudes. He had 120 disciples that he sent out. Then he had 12 apostles. But out of those 12 apostles, he had three in his inner circle, Peter, James, and John. So Jesus ministered to everybody, the multitudes. He had a fairly large group of people that he sent out. He had 12 people that he was close with, but he only had three people that he was super close to, that he was intimate friends with. So I must be committed. Proverbs 18:24, that verse I just read, given to us in the Good News Translation, says this, some friendships do not last, but some friends are more loyal than brothers. I love how Proverbs 27:9 puts it, a sweet friendship refreshes the soul. You see, the more I try to get friends, it seems like the fewer I have. But the more I try to be a friend, it seems like the more I have. Trying to get friends is common in our world. As a matter of fact, there are actually websites that have been created where you can buy friends. That's right. You can go on and buy friends. So whoever says you can't buy friends didn't know about these particular websites. There is an article in Hemisphere magazine where it explores a number of sites that are actually dedicated to helping you find friends, online friends. These companies will create fake users or pay real account holders to follow you and to like your post on various media sites. For example, on the site socialyup.com, you can buy 100 likes for $22. Or you can buy 200,000 likes for $32,000. For a mere $10, fan me now, you can have 1,000 Twitter followers. For $1,750, you can buy 1,000,000 followers. You see, if you need to beef up the views on your YouTube video, you can pay $150 and you'll get 30,000 views on a site called 500views.com. Unbelievable when you think about this, right? You can buy people to like and view your videos. Unbelievable. But are they really your friends? So if I'm going to be a friend, number one, I must be committed. But number two, I must be considerate. Proverbs 19:22 says, friendliness bears fruit for a man. Proverbs 17:9 says, love forgets mistakes. Nagging about them parts the best of friends. You know, friends are not unaware of blind spots or shortcomings in your life. They just choose to overlook them. I think that's what Paul is talking about when he says love covers a multitude of sins. It doesn't forgive those sins. It doesn't pretend that those sins are not there. It's just going on and overlooking those sins. I love how friends can guide you through life, and a good friend will take your shortcomings and not rub them in, but rub them out. They choose to overlook your faults. And I'm not talking about letting you get away with sin. I'm talking about the fact that every single one of us have shortcomings. Every one of us have these idiosyncrasies about ourselves. If you're married, I promise you, you know all the idiosyncrasies of your wife. Now, you probably overlook your own issues, but you know everything about your wife, what she does and what she doesn't do. I want to tell you something. She knows all that you do and don't do too. But she has probably chosen to overlook those offenses. I love how it's put on one greeting card. This greeting card says, you're a good egg. Even if you are a little cracked, we are all a little bit cracked. Friends are committed and friends are considerate. If you want to have friends that are considerate, treat people the way that you want to be treated. So we've learned two things so far. We've learned that we must be committed and we'll have friends. We've learned that we must be considerate and we'll have friends. And number three, we must be confident or trustworthy. Proverbs 11:13 says, a gossip will betray confidence, but a trustworthy man keeps a secret. Kind of reminds me of the story of three pastors who were out fishing. As they're going out fishing, they said, well, let's all share our favorite sin, the one that's our biggest problem. Well, the first pastor said, well, my problem is greed. I have a love and a lust for money. The next guy says, well, my problem is lust. I can't keep my eyes off the other women. A third pastor says, well, my problem is gossip, and I can't wait to get back and tell everybody. I want you to know, a friend is one who can listen without having a burning desire to broadcast it. A good friend is a friend that is trustworthy or confidential. What we've learned so far, that a good friend is committed, considerate, confidential, and then number four, a good friend is candid or honest. Proverbs 27:5-6 says, better is open rebuke than hidden love. Wounds from a friend can be trusted. Proverbs 24:26 says, an honest answer is the sign of a true friendship. You know, confrontation by a loving church member regarding an issue is very beneficial. Now, I want to share something with you that's very personal. Many years ago, as I was preaching, I would often insert a curse word. Now, I don't know why I did it particularly. I don't usually curse on a day-to-day basis, but for some reason, I picked up this habit, and maybe it's because of one of my mentors, that's what he did, and so I thought, hey, that was cool, and I would get a charge from people when I did it. And I had a certain segment of our congregation that thought that was cool that I did that, but I had one guy in my church, and he came to me one day, and he says, now listen, I need to really talk to you, Pastor. And he sat me down, and it wasn't a long conversation, but he says, you know, you do a great job. You're committed to our church. You work really hard. He says, but, you know, when you give a message and you drop in a curse word or you do something that's a little bit off color in what you say, he says, man, that just loses the potential and the power behind your message. And at first, when he said that to me, I was defensive. At first, I said, well, who do you think you are, right? How many churches have you started? How many churches have you pastored? But then I got thinking about what he said. And I think, I turned. I said, okay, you know what? You are exactly right. And I told this guy, I says, I tell you what, you're going to see a different pastor from now on. And I want you to know, that was a long time ago that that has happened. As a matter of fact, it was so long ago that most people in my church have no idea that I used to do that. Because I've been past that, because I had a good friend that came and lovingly and humbly and prayerfully confronted me in an issue. He was candid with me. He was honest with me. You know, as you think about going through difficult times, you need somebody that can be honest with you, somebody that can be candid with you, somebody that you can trust that will give you solid biblical advice. Somebody who's not afraid to get into your grill and say, hey, this needs to be changed. One of the things that this guy said to me, he says, you got so much going for you, but when you go down that path, you got to disqualify yourself. And he says, you got a lot going for you. So be a team member. Realize that not everybody appreciates that. And I took it to heart, and I'm so glad that I did. You know, Jacqueline Kennedy had devotion during the Cuban Missile Crisis. And you think about people have devotion. A friend is devoted. You know, Jacqueline Kennedy, the wife of United States President John F. Kennedy, was interviewed one day before she passed. And she was interviewed by an author who asked about the Kennedy assassination by Lee Harvey Oswald in November of 1963 and asked how she was able to go through this event, one of the most significant events that she was able to actually discuss in this interview. And then she recalled some things that happened that helped her to get through that crisis of losing her husband. And she recalled the recollections that she had during the Cuban Missile Crisis of 1962. She talked about that crisis and said that the crisis occurred when the governments of Cuba and the Soviet Union had built a nuclear missile based right in Cuba that was capable of striking the United States. The threat of nuclear war was real. When she learned about this, she was involved with her husband, and she said this, and she begged of her husband to allow her to be with her. And she said, if anything happens, we're all going to stay right here with you, she said to him, October 1962. And I just want to be with you, and I want to die with you, and the children do too. Then they'd rather live with you and die with you than to live without you. As I think about that, that's what friends are. Friends are the ones who walk in when everybody else is walking out. Friends are the ones that are supporting you even in the most difficult times of your life. As you think about friendship, I must be committed. I should be one who is considerate, one who is confidential, who can keep a confidence, one who is candid. And also, number five, one who is constructive. Proverbs 27:17 says, as iron sharpens iron, so one friend shapes and sharpens another. We are told in 1 Thessalonians 5:11 to encourage one another and to build each other up. Paul says, just as in fact you are, keep it going. Keep building one another up. Now, one of the benefits of having friends is that they can bring about this constructive encouragement. Iron sharpening iron. You know, I've always loved Winnie the Pooh, and in one episode, Christopher Robin said to Pooh, promise me you'll always remember me. You're braver than you believe, and you're stronger than you seem, and smarter than you think. You think about that. That constructive encouragement. Hey, you're stronger than you think you are. You're braver than you believe. You're stronger than you seem. You're smarter than you think. You see, no problem is ever as dark as when you have friends who can face it with you. Friendships will lift you up when the world lets you down. Have a friend and be a friend that is a constructive friend, one who is building others up. Well, number six, we've learned so far today that we must be committed, we must be considerate, we must be confidential, we must be candid, we must be constructive, and lastly, we must be consistent. Proverbs 17:17 says, you know, a friend loves at all times. A brother is born for adversity. Well, I gave you some Winnie the Pooh theology. Well, here's something that Charlie Brown said to his dog, Snoopy. Are you a little bit upset, my friend? Have you been lying awake worrying? Well, don't worry. I'm here. The floodwaters will recede, the famine will end, the sun will shine tomorrow, and I will always be here to take care of you. What an encouragement Charlie Brown was to his dog, Snoopy. And how much more should we encourage one another? Romans 5:11 says, now we can rejoice in our wonderful relationship with God, all because of what the Lord Jesus Christ has done in dying for our sins. And don't miss this little phrase, making us friends with God. I love that phrase. I am a friend of God. God has brought me into this relationship because of what Jesus Christ has done in dying for my sins. Now I am a friend of God. Well, I was reading this poem that kind of goes along with friendships and is entitled, I Want to Let Go, But I Won't. And I just want to read this poem to you because it so encouraged me as I read it. I want to let go, but I won't let go. There are battles to fight by day and by night for God and for the right, and I'll never let go. I want to let go, but I won't let go. I'm sick, 'tis true, worried and blue and worn through and through, but I won't let go. I won't let go. I want to let go, but I won't let go. I will never yield. What? Lie down on the field and surrender my shield? No, I'll never let go. I want to let go, but I won't let go. May this be my song. Mid legions of wrong, oh God, keep me strong that I may never let go. That's what a friend does. A friend says, I will never let go. You know, life is short and you think about how short life is, but life can get really long when you're lonely and you don't have a whole lot of people to hang around with. I want to encourage you to establish some good friends by being a good friend. Friendship is such a gift that is given to us by those that we love. There is something very special about friendships. I think about the different phases in my life. My wife and I were talking about this not too long ago, and it seems like every time we got to a certain phase in our life where we needed a particular type of friend, God miraculously brought that friend into our lives. It just amazes me the number of friends that God has blessed us with. I remember when we started our family, we were living away from family, and that was kind of a good thing to start our marriage together without family close by. But as our kids started coming along, and I remember it was kind of difficult for them not to have their uncles and their aunts and their cousins and grandparents close by. And so God sent a couple into our life that were like a surrogate grandparents to my children. And to this day, my kids think that they're grandparents. They still bless them. They still stay in touch with them. That was over 20 years ago that that friendship started. Just to see how God has brought us through that time. I remember many years ago as I was a young man, I was involved in a terrible accident in which I had caused a lot of hurt to somebody. And as a result of that accident, I was having to go to court. I was having to respond to some legal issues. And I had a roommate while I was going through this time. And this roommate was so gracious to me. He was one of these guys that said, you know what? I'm going to come with you. I'm going to go to court with you. He says, I'm not there to judge you. I'm not there to say what was right or what was wrong. He says, I'm just going to be there for you. I'm just going to be a friend for you. You know, that's what a friend does. They are with you in good times and in bad times. You know, that same friend that was there with me, a couple years after that happened, he contracted the dreaded AIDS virus and became a person that had significant health issues. And he contracted the AIDS virus as he was on a mission trip, and they had got a hold of some water that made them all sick, and they gave him a shot and the needle was tainted. And as a result of that, this man battled for his health for the last decade of his life. And I remember caring for him and loving him and helping him. And there were many times I'd have to take him to the hospital in the middle of the night. And I got thinking about that. And I got thinking about the fact that he stuck with me during my difficult times. And so I was going to stick with him. No matter what, I was going to stick with him. I had the privilege of not only being there with him through his days of leaving this earth, but also speaking at his funeral and sharing his life with others who came to that funeral service. You know, I think life is very short. And if you have just a few friends in life, life is good. I want to close our broadcast today with a word of prayer. And this is a prayer of friendship. It's a prayer for friendship, and it's a prayer about friendship. So dear Lord, thank you for giving me such vibrant and such great friends. Thank you for giving me this community of friends to do life with. I praise you for the people that you have blessed me with, the ones you have allowed to come alongside me and to love me, to encourage me, to support me, to uplift me through all of the twists and the turns in life. I'm so grateful that I do not have to go through life alone, but that you have shown me examples of your love through my dearest friends. And Lord, I want to thank you for the greatest friendship that a person could ever have, and that is my friendship with my Savior, Jesus Christ. I thank you that I have this friend who died for my sins. I thank you that I have this friend that could have condemned me and judged me for my sins, but instead chose to forgive me of those sins. I thank you that this friend will never leave me nor forsake me. I thank you that this friend sticks closer than a brother. I thank you that this friend is a friend that loves me unconditionally. Even when I mess up, he loves me unconditionally. Thank you, Lord, for being that friend that sticks closer than a brother. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, as we close out the broadcast today, I want to ask you to do something. And I don't usually do this, but I want to ask you to consider being involved in Hope for Your Heart Ministry. You know, this broadcast is a ministry of Hickory Ridge Community Church, and we gladly do this broadcast ministry, but it costs time to be on the broadcast. It costs time and money to produce this. And so if you would like to be part of this ministry by giving a small financial gift, I'd encourage you to write a check to Hickory Ridge Community Church, and then you can mail it to us at 3320 Battlefield Boulevard South, Chesapeake, Virginia, 23322. Or if you'd like to give online, you can go to hrcc7.org. And when you go on there, just hit the giving tab and you can give toward this ministry. And I thank you so much in advance for your financial support of this ministry. If it's a blessing to you, we hope that we can continue on with this broadcast. Thank you in advance for being so faithful and generous. God bless you.
Hickory Ridge Community Church is located at 3220 South Battlefield Boulevard, Chesapeake, Virginia. For more information, you go to our website at www.hrcc7.org. No matter what you're going through, remember, in Jesus Christ, there is always hope for your heart.